Canada needs more teachers, especially ones who specialize in French as a second language. For a bilingual nation like Canada, this growing shortage is a problem. I'm Mimi Masson, and this is my podcast series about FSL teachers. While doing my PhD at the University of Toronto, I learned why we have so much trouble recruiting FSL teachers and why so many of them drop out of the profession. And I dedicated my research to finding ways to help them. Now, I'm sharing my research findings with you. In the last episode, I addressed some of the myths around language learning that perpetuate neglect in FSL teacher professional development. I also talked about how computer-supported collaborative learning networks could help empower FSL teachers and give them a leg up. From 2011 to 2015, we invited a group of teachers to join our online community so they could discuss their fears, their barriers, their successes, and their ideas with other fellow teachers. Now I'd like to turn to some of the interesting discussion topics that came out of our CSCL network. In this episode, I'd like to talk about assessment, how we evaluate and grade students, which was a topic of discussion that came up a lot during these online sessions. The FSL teachers in this group shared new ideas about how language learners should be evaluated. It's really a testament to the innovative ideas that emerge when teachers are given the space and the autonomy to take charge of their own practice. So let's say you're a student learning biology. You attend the classes, you read the textbook, you take a test, and you get graded on it. How else is there to know if you've understood the subject or not? If you did well, it means you mastered the material, right? But if you do well on your French test, does that mean you've mastered the French language? As Christina points out, this is often not the case with students taking her class.
When my call French students come to me in grades 7 and 8, they have been studying French for 4 or 5 years. However, both my students and I are painfully aware that they cannot speak French. Most of them speak English as a second language, so they know they are able to learn more than one language. Their lack of fluency leads to a lack of motivation, and by the end of grade 9, most core French students drop French because they can't speak it after studying it for 6 years.
So what's going on here? Students are passing their courses, passing their tests, and yet they're moving ahead without the ability to speak French. It would seem that traditional methods of grading as a means of assessing mastery just doesn't cut it for language courses. It just isn't an accurate reflection of reality.
When I first started teaching, I had no idea how I was supposed to rate them on these humongous scales. I don't even know these kids. I teach them French once a day for an hour.
While participating in the CSCL network, Christina and Sophie point out that teachers have a lot of questions about how to assess their students and don't always feel support from their schools to explore different strategies for grading and evaluating them. They're mostly encouraged to follow traditional forms of assessment as defined by the Ministry of Education and school boards. Here's Sophie.
In our school, it was forced down our throat for many years, standardized assessments. They want us to be doing things in common and being fair in teaching to standardized tests. And at the same time, they want us to be doing differentiated instruction and all these creative things. And I think teachers are torn between, you know, following the rules and being who they want to be in their classroom and, you know, really motivating and inspiring their kids. So like the policy coming down on teachers are conflicting messages. I'm almost at the point where it's like, I don't care what you do. Do what's good for your kids. I'm going to do what's good for my kids and we'll figure something out.
So in order to evaluate someone in an FSL class, teachers need a different set of tools. In order to develop such tools, teachers need to be given the space to brainstorm and test new ideas. They need time to figure out how to make it work for their students.
I think a lot more quality PD can be given to these sorts of discussions because they're necessary. And I don't think teachers feel very supported with how to assess. I mean, I've heard teachers say, "You can't give marks for participation." Well, guess what? In French class, I have to. Because if you don't speak French in French class, how could you not?
There are generally two kinds of assessment, formative and summative. Summative assessment is what most people think about when they imagine teaching. It's also called evaluation. It's when a teacher assigns a value to a piece of work. You take a test, you get a grade. That's a summative assessment. It symbolizes the sum of your knowledge. Formative assessment is about determining the quality of your work. It's an opportunity to take stock of what you know, where you're at, and what you need help with. Let's say you give a presentation, and then the teacher tells you what aspects were strong and where you could make modifications to improve. That's formative assessment. It helps you change who you are. It shapes you and pushes you into different areas of learning. Assessment is more oriented towards the process, the evolution of learning, whereas evaluation focuses more on judging a final product at a certain point in time. For teachers, finding a balance between these two is pretty important.
I feel like we just mark too much. We mark and mark and mark, and these programs crunch numbers for us, and we're starting to lose our voice and our professional judgment. We need to take our power back.
Unfortunately, it's pretty clear that our society values and rewards grades above all. In the last episode, we talked about how teacher learning was very much skewed towards the product of learning rather than the process. Well, the same is true for student learning. Schools, parents, and as a result, the students themselves have grown obsessed with grades.
The kids are so mark-driven. Give me my printout. The computer gives me my grades. What's the percentage? But I'm not just assessing that final product and giving you a number on it. It's a holistic grade and I'm looking at everything. I'm a professional. I have professional judgment and I'm taking into consideration everything we do from the beginning to the end of this process.
What Sophie and Christina come to realize in discussions with their colleagues is that traditional evaluation methods, grading products for example, don't help students build confidence in a sustainable way, which is crucial for learning a new language. Simply assigning grades seems to either give students a false sense of security or it discourages them altogether from persevering and committing to learning the language.
Ultimately, they can read and write very well, but they're speaking. And that's just because they're in a language-removed context.
Confidence in the classroom, especially in a context where French is the minority language, is key to getting students involved. Speaking a second language is really about risk-taking, so teachers have to make sure their students feel safe. Christina notices a vast difference between her core French students and those enrolled in a French immersion program. And she wonders if there's anything to be done.
Students in extended French and French immersion learn in French instead of just studying the French language, and they can speak French. I think it might be a good idea to just stress the fact that communication is the key here. Maybe go on a model where it's not just endless correction. Just let people speak and say, look, we understand the gist of their conversation. We're not going to correct them because that makes people feel like they shouldn't speak. And while they start to build that community and people start to feel comfortable just actually conversing or expressing themselves orally and in written form, then you can start making corrections together. I think that might be a good way to start.
So, what are some possible strategies we can apply to help students build that confidence in French class? Is it possible to assess students in a way that builds their confidence instead of tearing it down?
How about they assess themselves?
Say what?
If they want a mark, okay. Well, you assess yourself. See how you're doing.
That was Sophie's colleague, Anna, who teaches primary school children in math. She was also part of the CSCL network. Her suggestion makes Sophie think, what would it mean for students to take ownership of their learning and assessment? What would that look like?
I kind of want to put together a virtual portfolio that they can go back to and look at and see their progress. Because a lot of times what they do is sort of forgotten. So I think when they get to see a video of themselves and myself too, then they can reflect on it a little better. So I want them to assess themselves. I'm just, you know, struggling with how it's going to look. So I'll take you guys along for the ride and I'll let you know how it goes.
Student self-assessment is something Christina had been tinkering with in her class too. She does this by recording her students so they can watch themselves in action.
If I record them, then I have proof. The kids can actually watch themselves and they pick up on what they could do better themselves. I don't even have to say anything. If they justify their score well and are honest, I know I will learn about how hard they have tried and how much they have personally grown. After all, they know themselves much better than I know them. And if parents ask, I can say, look, just watch your kid. This is what they did, and this was a level 4 and this was a level 2, and can you see the difference?
Christina discovered something else with this experiment. Through hearing her students' own self-assessments, she got to know them better.
I marvel at how much I learn about their self-confidence, overall personal rigor, self-perception, and inhibition. They're so young, innocent, and hopeful. Some of them are scathing in their evaluation, so much harder on themselves than I would have been. It's shocking. Two of them worry me with their negativity. They must be so used to receiving negative feedback that they've internalized it, and it colors their perception of themselves. And so I vow to help them see themselves in a better light. This self-evaluation process assists me to help my students and see them and report on them as individuals.
It's interesting how assessment can shape the way students understand learning. Teacher-guided self-assessment is actually a powerful tool that can help empower students, giving them valuable critical thinking skills and the specific feedback they need to improve while not feeling discouraged. It can help them change the narrative they've internalized about themselves and give them the confidence they need to succeed. Christina takes it a step further, too. She held student interviews and invited the parents to join in on the discussion.
I told the children they had to come to the interview and not to bother sending their parents if they weren't coming. I knew that sitting down with them and asking them first, what are you enjoying in this class? What do you find that you like? A lot of times you don't have that time to talk to them one-on-one about this. And then I would say, what are you finding hard to understand in this class? Or any aspect of school life, and how can I help address that? So then they tell me what they think and I take notes. Then I'd ask the parents, do you have anything to say in terms of what you see your children struggling or doing well in, an area that I could help with, or an area that I should focus on?
This approach repositions the teacher to be so much more involved and have so much more information about the students' learning goals in French and in life beyond the classroom. Teacher feedback and interactions with their students play an important role in how our students feel about their abilities in French, and that can have a huge impact on the role everyone plays in the classroom. In the next episode, we'll talk about another important topic the teachers discussed while participating in the CSCL network. How keeping equity, diversity, and inclusion in mind while teaching French as a second language can help students thrive. This podcast series was made possible thanks to funding from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council and the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education at the University of Toronto. I'm your host, Mimi Masson. Production, editing, and sound design by Sabrina Daniel. Voice acting by Shakina Rajendram, Jennifer Burton, and Nicola Carty.